when you get right down to it, a lot of people ended up going to Bethlehem. And I thought it would be interesting and helpful if we took a good look at some of those people. So beginning today and the next three Sundays, we will be looking at people who traveled to Bethlehem. And then on Christmas Eve, there is one final person at whom we will look who took the road to David's town. Who goes to Bethlehem today? As we begin our journey on Bethlehem's road, we're going to look first at Mary and Joseph. After all, they were the ones who always came to mind first of all when we talked about going to Bethlehem. They were the central players in the drama that was to unfold there. Let's begin by talking about Mary. Now, if you were God, and you were going to have your own son born on earth through a human mother, how would you go about choosing that person? How would you select her? That's an interesting question, don't you think? Suppose you are a parent and you are required to give up your only child for adoption. What would you look for in the prospective parents? What would be the first thing you would look for? Would it be that they were well educated? Would you want them to have a lovely home? Would you want them to be financially secure? Would you want to check into their emotional history? Would you want to check out their ethnic background? And where would you want them to live? What kind of a home would you want them to have? What kind of a community would you want them to be a part of? And when you stop to think about it, there seem to be a lot of things we would want those prospective parents to have before we entrusted our only child into their keeping. Frequently, I am asked to make recommendations to an adoption agency about members of our congregation who want to adopt a child. And it's just amazing the kind of background work the agencies do before they will even consider placing a child. But when you stop to think about it, Mary and Joseph would not have qualified on any of those grounds we mentioned, and I suspect none of us would have been willing to surrender our only child to this young couple. They were not well educated. They were not financially secure. They lived in a country which was under the domination of a foreign rule. They were not from a very stable environment. And they ended up having their baby in the feeding trough of a smelly old barn. And yet God chose them. What was there about them that God did that? Of all the women who came before her, and of all the women who came after her, why was Mary chosen? What was there about her that God found her a suitable mother to give birth to the only Son of God? The Bible doesn't give us many clues, actually. As a matter of fact, I can find only one clue. And that clue is found in St. Luke 1:30 that was read this morning. There the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary and says, "You have found favor. You have found favor with God." Let me ask you this question. How does one find favor with God? If you took a dictionary of the Bible, a concordance, and you looked up the word favor, you would find in the Old Testament numerous references to people who found favor with God. But in only one place did I find how a person finds favor with God. The only place I found any reference to how you got in God's favor was in chapter 8, verse 32 through 35 of the book of Proverbs. And there we read these words: "Blessed are those who keep my ways." Blessed are those who keep my ways. And right away, I recognized something about Mary that comes to mind. When she visited her cousin Elizabeth, who at the time was herself pregnant with the child who was to become John the Baptist. Because when Mary came, Elizabeth's spirit responded. And she exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women." So Proverbs says, blessed are those who keep my ways. And Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed art thou among women. And we're immediately reminded of Mary then. But Proverbs goes on to say, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors, for he who finds me finds life and obtains favor. And obtains favor from God. Does that last sentence strike a familiar note? Proverbs says, he who finds me finds life. Does that sound familiar? Didn't Jesus say, and he who loses his life for my sake shall find it? So to have favor with God means to be God's person. He listens to God, watches daily at God's gates, waits beside God's door. Well, if Mary found favor with God, that must have been the kind of person she was. The Bible says, he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And the angel said to Mary, you have found favor with the Lord. So I think the key to Mary is found way back there in Proverbs. Now let me pose a question for both of us. Could God send you or me to Bethlehem? That is, have you found favor with God? Are we qualified to be chosen to go to some Bethlehem for God? I don't know about you, but when I look at my life, I have to admit, I don't always listen to God. I'm certainly not always watching daily at His gates, and I'm not always waiting beside His doors. Are you? I suspect a lot of us are eager to see God act in our day and time. Many of us would like to see a great spiritual renewal sweep across America. I know I long for that in my heart, to see a new great awakening. We would like to see God raise up some spiritual giants in our time. And last Sunday I talked about the fact that America has not had a great awakening, a spiritual renewal, in over 100 years. Why not? Why not? Could it be that God is waiting for men and women who have found favor with Him? You see, I'm not sure I'm qualified to be sent to Bethlehem. Do you feel qualified? And how in the world can God act without a Mary or a Joseph? When the angel first appeared to Mary, do you remember what he said to her? He said, the Lord is with you. And I wondered, what does that mean? And I looked it up in all the commentaries, and they all seemed to agree that when the angel said, the Lord is with you, it meant that Mary was redeemed, that she had a saving relationship to God. Well, I know a lot of you here this morning who are redeemed, who have a saving relationship to the Lord. But Mary had gone on beyond that to a real spiritual maturity. She had gone so far spiritually that she had found favor with God. And as I think about the renewal of America, I think that's what we must have. People who are mature spiritually, who've gone beyond a saving relationship. Do you know what happens when a person finds favor with God? Well, the angel told Mary that he had a wonderful plan for the world. God had a magnificent plan for the world. And he told her what was going to happen when Jesus was born. He said, he shall be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And to be in favor with God meant that Mary got to be a part, an integral part, of the mighty plan of God for the world. The angel said, You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Yes, you shall be a part of God's incredible plan. What's God's plan for the world today? I don't know about you, but whatever that plan is, I want to be a part of it. Oh, how I long to be a part of God's mighty move in the world today. But can I be a part of that plan if I'm not in favor with God? I may be redeemed. I am. I have a saving relationship to God. But until I move on to deep spiritual maturity and find myself in favor with God, I won't be an integral part of God's plan, and neither will you. Can you think of any person in the Bible that God used in a powerful way? Can you think of any person in the Old Testament or the New Testament that became a great spiritual leader, that became an instrument in the hand of God, who did not first reach spiritual maturity? And that's the desperate need of the world today if God's plan is to come into being. Look at St. Paul, for example. Paul got converted on the road to Damascus, but do you know how long it was before God sent him on a missionary journey? 14 years. It was 14 years later that God finally called Paul to work. And I'm going to tell you this, God isn't going to send any spiritual babies to Bethlehem. God isn't going to create a spiritual renewal in America with spiritual babies. He needs people who have found favor with Him. But there's a second thing that happened when the angel visited Mary. When the angel told her what God proposed to do, do you remember what Mary said? She said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to thy word." Could you have said that? You know, God never forces people to do His will. He never forces people into situations without their consent, their conscious, deliberate decision. Suppose Mary had said no to God. She had that right. She had that choice. It's unthinkable to believe that the Holy Spirit would have come upon her without her consent. You see, God never works that way. But Mary put herself at God's disposal that day. "Let it be to me according to your word." Are you at God's total disposal this morning? Are you ready to drop everything and set off on some road to Bethlehem? I like to think I am. But I realize I'm not spiritually ready. I read such things as, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." I read, "Do not resist one who is evil. But if one strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away." And then I realize I'm really not at God's disposal. Do you have that problem too? But God isn't going to force any of us, is He? God isn't going to make any of us do anything we don't want to do any more than He would have forced Mary to do His will. But God didn't need to force Mary. No, she's just said, "I'm at your disposal, totally." So God can't send anybody to Bethlehem who isn't at His disposal, totally. And that's not only true of you and me individually, it's true of us as a congregation. God has blessed this congregation beyond any church in this city that I know anything about. But the real question is this: are we a congregation at God's disposal to do His will? Well, are we? But let's not leave Joseph out of our trip to Bethlehem. We don't know much about Joseph. We suspect that he was a good bit older than Mary. While Jesus is still a boy, Joseph disappears from the scene. By the time Jesus begins his ministry, there's no mention of Joseph, and we may assume that he is likely dead. But let me tell you how important Joseph was. In those days, it would have been utterly impossible for an unmarried woman to have a child out of wedlock. She would be stoned to death. That was the penalty demanded by the law of the Old Testament. So God needed some loving man to put the shield of His good name around the woman God had chosen. You men, could you have done that? Could you have trusted some dream, some vision of God enough to do that? Could you have believed that you really had an incredible visitation of an angel to do what Joseph did? It would be hard, wouldn't it? What an incredible person Joseph must have been. One writer puts it this way: Joseph does not delay. He does not dispute. He does not disobey. In an act of obedience quite similar to that of Mary, He embraces the divine directives and puts the shelter of sanctity over her head. He takes her to be His wife, but He knows her not until she gives birth to her firstborn son. And then He adds, and in so doing, the prophetic scriptures are fulfilled. Yes, an act of obedience. Do you think there may be some road to Bethlehem today that God wants you and me to travel? In my heart, I know that there are great and wonderful and mighty things God wants to do in our world today through people like you and me. But before God can send us off on the road to Bethlehem, He needs men and women who have found favor with Him, who have put themselves at His disposal, and who are obedient. There's a funny story about Tommy Bolt, a professional golfer. On the golf course, Tommy was known for two things. First of all, he was known for his beautiful, graceful swing. The second thing he was noted for was his terrible temper. Once in a golf match, after missing six straight putts, in which almost all of them stopped and hung on the lip of the hole, feeling God was against him, Bolt shook his fist at the heavens and cried, "Why don't you come down and fight like a man?" Well, that's part of the problem. You see, he did come down. And now he wants us to go to Bethlehem. When the time came for Mary and Joseph, they were ready. Am I? Are you? Let us pray. God, not many of us are working very hard at finding favor with You, and I guess that's the biggest breakdown, Lord. We're not finding favor with You, and we're not working at it. But beyond that, Father, it's awfully hard to put ourselves at Your disposal, to cast aside everything and say, "Lord, here I am. Be it unto me according to Your word." And it's awfully hard to be obedient, just totally obedient. But Lord, there's such an exciting plan I know that You have for the world today. If You can just find the Marys and the Josephs to go to some new Bethlehem. Use us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.